too much because I haven't really kept up with it too much because of, you know, well, we've had midterms and different things rolling around. Mm-hmm. But every time I get like a notification on my phone, it'll be like, this Republican senator asked this question. And I think one of the videos I actually watched was something about would I, a Hispanic man, be able to claim I was Asian? And at this point, I'm not even, because I mean, I've seen other Supreme Court, nominations before, I watched, was it Brett Kavanaugh? Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh, get elected. So I remember how he was being grilled, but it's just like, to me, I'm not even sure what's going on with this one. Mm-hmm. It is odd to me, though. Actually, I do have something to say about this. It is odd to me that mm-hmm. Joe Biden said it is high time that a Black woman should be on the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I have no issue with Ketanji Brown.
Yeah.
But the issue that I do have is that I feel like in a position like the Supreme Court, actually in any position really, right, you shouldn't be trying to use a derivative of, let me just say, for lack of better words, affirmative action. Mm. Right? Like, because to me, I feel like it demerits her when there's a statement like that out there. Yeah. That, okay, we're putting you on there because you're a Black woman, right, not because of your merits or because of your legal career.
But then representation matters.
It does matter, but the thing is, representation matters when that representation is earned,
right?
Okay. Like, the reason representation matters is because before, people who are qualified because of their minority status still didn't get the job over less qualified people. So that is why representation mattered, because yes, we should have more African-Americans in politics. We should have more African-Americans in the tech field. And there are times that they have been denied because of their skin color. But then I don't think that the right thing to do is now go ahead and say, like, let's say out loud, it is high time they have a Black woman on the Supreme Court. If a Black woman is the most qualified person to be on the Supreme Court in today's day and age, they should definitely be there. But I would hate to be given something because of my skin color, personally. Mm. Because, if I wasn't the skin color, does that mean that I didn't work hard enough to earn it?
I see. That's an interesting take. I mean, I feel like for me, what it is she's very qualified. I saw a chart with her next to the courts, and she has a ton from working in the legal side to she has a lot of experience. So I think she's very qualified. Her story is very inspiring. My only thing is, and I do think some of the questions that the Republicans have asked are kind of ridiculous. There's this one video that has been going around where they asked her who a woman was. Did you see that? If she could define, did you see?
I didn't see it, but I'm not surprised that something like that is out there.
I was like, what would you define a woman as? And she said, I'm not a biologist. So that, I think she's qualified. I'm happy that she's earned it, I would say. I don't think it's just affirmative action. Or maybe, right, because of what Biden said. Him saying, it's time for a Black woman to be in the Supreme Court, just takes away all of the hard work that she's done and collapses it into, a Black woman. But she's very qualified, if anything. I'm just worried about Democrats. I'm just worried about Democrats because it's how slippery do they slide? Reality is eluding them more and more and more. And I'm just it's an interesting time to be in. In any case, welcome to the podcast, guys. So welcome to the podcast. I hope you guys have been having a good time listening, and thank you so much. So if you do listen, please reach out to me, or if you want to, and just say hey and talk about it. I had someone from last week call me and be like, you did good. You should have done so. I like the feedback. Ask us questions. But thank you for being here. Thank you for listening again. Today I have a very, very, very special guest. So I always start by, so because I'm actually curious as to how you introduce yourself. I know you're going to say something different. So yeah, GK, introduce yourself.
Well, you know, they say a man who speaks in mystery should be mysterious, but I am here to make things plain. My name is Andre, but I also go by, and I'm more commonly known as TGK Dre, you know. I'm not going to promote my music just yet, but, you know, if you type in the name I just spoke, TGK Dre, that's TGK space Dre. This is not a promotion again, by the way, into any streaming platform.
It's canceled out. We only do sponsored content. That whole thing you just said is getting cut. I'm kidding. We'll go on.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a believer. I'm an artist. I'm a budding conversationalist.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm honored to be on the Conversations with Rookie podcast, you know, with the Avenge herself.
Oh, thank you. Have you ever listened?
Yes.
Which one did you listen?
The first one.
Wow. The one about family?
Yes.
With my mom?
Yes.
What did you think about that?
It was an interesting choice for our first guest, but it also does something to the, because now it's like, I mean, because it's like starting off from there, you know, it makes it seem less like, you know how, like, you know, everybody's, you know, just wants to do like, you know, oh, we're going to have this person, this was like, you know, like the bigger the name, the whatever, you know, it makes it seem more family, you know, like this is like an us thing rather than, you know, me, them, and then you're just there.
Yeah. If I wanted big names, I wouldn't invite you. So
oh yeah, of course. I mean, you don't invite me if you wanted the biggest name.
I'm kidding, but you know what you said is actually what this podcast is about, because I feel like, and again, that's why like I hit record and you could hear us like having a conversation, because we're supposed to do this last week actually, and then I called you, I was like, oh, I'm tired, I'm kind of sleepy, maybe we should do this another time, and then we ended up talking for 3 hours. So I was like, you know what, this time I'm just gonna hit record in case anything happens. But I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to talk about like a few topics. I'm going to pick your brain, and I always start out by saying how I met the person. Or I always like to start out by saying how I met whoever I'm talking to. And it's funny because my dad is coming next, on the next episode, I think. And I'm wondering how we met. So that's going to be interesting. I don't think I've ever heard him like say my birth story from his side. I've heard my mom's side, but I never heard his side. But we're talking about, anyway, we'll talk about what we talk about when we talk. But yeah, it is a very family thing. And the premise is, I feel like I have really amazing conversations, but no one ever listens, because it's just me and the person having the conversation. So this podcast is really sort of like a front seat into the conversations that are so bomb that no one ever gets to hear. But now I'm opening it up to the world because I'm so kind. So yeah, you're welcome. And yeah, I'm happy that you think I'm doing a good job. I know I'm doing a good job. Anyway, moving on. So TGK, so I met Pastor Nicole. And then I saw a guy that looked just like her. And I was like, this has to be her brother. But then I think moving on, so I would like come around to the house and you'd see me and be like, hi. And then keep doing what you're doing. Like, I feel like you never really acknowledge. You never really acknowledge. Like, I think you may be the kind of person that like, You slowly warm up to people. Like, maybe you try to test people and see how they are before you, like, you know, see if you want to actually vibe with them. But that was it. And then we had to plan a program. And the funny thing was, when I was planning the program, I was planning Summerfest, right? Planning a summer program. And then my pastor had given me the go-ahead to, like, you know, be creative, come up with the team, come up with everything. And then I was like, okay, pastor, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something different. It's not going to be the same people that are planning everything that will plan this. I'm going to get the people that I consider fun, but less committed. Emphasis on less committed at that point, because that was a long time ago. And then TGK happened to be one of the less committed, fun, really interesting people. And he never used to pick up his phone. So every time I'll call him, it would just be a pain. But we've gotten into like a nice...
Sheesh. Oh, man.
Or reply to... I'm sorry, this is a really long introduction. But he never used to pick up his phone or reply text messages. But we got into a really good group and we had a very successful program. And that was when I feel like I really got to see your substance. That you know you show up, you do the things you say you would do mostly, and that's an amazing trait to have as a young man. You know, you're also very focused, very interesting. Like, I love your mind, and so I always say that out of your siblings, Pastor Nicole, Chelsea, and you. Chelsea's my favorite, but then you're like my best, and Nicole doesn't count that much, but yeah, go on.
I agree.
So yeah, how did we meet from your side?
Honestly, it's actually funny because I remember you from how you met Pastor Nicole. I actually don't remember meeting you that well.
Right.
Every time I remember how I met you, I remember the story of Sister Phyllis meeting you in the bookstore and introducing you. No, but that story, I've heard that story so many times.
That's not your memory.
No, at this point, I have like a visual picture of you at the bookstore. Right. And Sister Phyllis bringing Pastor Nicole to you. But I do remember coming around the house. And the thing is, it's not like I don't test people, but I'm a very, my theme scripture is, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, and there should be an ambition to mind your own business, you know, and lead a quiet life doing good work just as we have instructed you. So I'm just a very, you know, like mind your own business kind of person. And if somebody has something for me, then yes, you know, I may like go up to them, but, you know, people will come up to me, they'll be like, oh, you know, you don't ask or do this. And I'm like, other people's, like, you know, lives don't really concern me. Like, I have my own life to be concerned about, you know? So really, unless there's a reason for me to, like, interact with somebody, I'll say hi. And it's just like, it's nothing personal to anybody. I just don't, I'm not that interactive, you know? And I mean, I definitely remember Summerfest, you know? And, you know, thank you for, of course, you know, saying what you said. I appreciate that. Because I do strive to be a person of my word. And I don't give my word out a lot, but if I do say I want to do something.
You actually don't, because I've asked you about a couple of things and you just look at me and smile, like, and then I know, like, you're not going to do it. But you rather do that than say, oh, yeah, sure. Like, and when you do say sure, you actually do show up.
Exactly. Cool. Yeah. Like, that's one. I mean, because, you know, if God is his word and we're like him, then, you know, any word that I say, you know. But yeah, you know, about the whole, because, you know, she really took her time to mention the not responding. I don't know when this podcast is going to come out. Right now, my phone is actually out of commission. A skating accident happened a few days ago. My phone flew out of my hand. So if anybody messaged me or called me.
Did you get hurt?
Yes. I landed on my left knee, but, you know, we'll be all right.
Are you, like, walking well, or?
I'm walking, which is good.
Are you going to stop skating?
Of course not. Oh, never that. That's crazy. Okay. Just forfeit that idea. But, yeah, so to anybody who's listening, you know, my phone is currently out of commission because somebody is going to listen to this podcast and be like, I owe them a few messages.
People, not buddy.
Okay, wow. Some people. And yes, I do, but my phone has been out of commission for the last few days, so that's my excuse. Not like I mind, though, because, I mean, she's not wrong. But the thing is, and, you know, I love how this is going to, you know, a large audience. If I don't respond to you, it's not like I don't care.
Yeah.
But if I don't text you first, don't really expect anything from there. Because to me, okay, no, personally, I think it's unfair how because somebody has to talk, like somebody wants to talk to me, I have to be forced to respond. Like, I'm being respectful. I'm not saying, well, I don't want to talk to you. And that's personally why I love it when people, like, ignore me. Because then they're saving me, like, you know, the responsibility of me having to not respond to them. And it's never on purpose. People are hardwired to communicate to each other, and I am in a sense. But for the most part, when I see messages, I don't register the messages. Like, there's no innate desire in my mind that, okay, somebody texts me, I have to respond to them. Somebody call me, let me call them back. I'll remember like a few weeks later. And then by that time, it's already kind of like.
But I feel like, do you think this is, because you guys are, I don't know.
Who are you guys?
Gen Zs.
Do I qualify as a Gen Z?
You're definitely a Gen Z. I think you're probably like the oldest Gen Z.
Aren't you Gen Z as well?
Don't say that in public. I'm a millennial for every...
Okay. Actually, I would rather be Gen Z than be a millennial. So that I don't even mind. Yes. But millennials are some of the cringiest people I've ever met in my life. No offense, because you don't qualify into that range.
Did you say craziest or cringiest?
Cringiest.
I see what you mean. Like, so... But between Gen Z and millennials, though.
Millennials are, okay, let me not say worse. They're like a middle child. You feel me?
Exactly.
They're kind of just there. And because they're there, they're also trying to do something for attention.
I think we need to cut some slack to millennials. Like, millennials are like the first set of people in recent history that... or grew up in a messed up world. Like, we were seeing it rapid. And then Gen Z's just came to decay. Like, there's nothing left in this world, you know? And I think that messed with a lot of millennials. Like, again, millennials, like, a wide range. But we saw a lot of changes, like, fast, right? So, and then it's like, we're also the first generation where the expectation that was presented to us young is not what's really matching up with right now. Like, oh, you're the leader of tomorrow, or, oh, you know, go to school, graduate, get a good job. Like, those things are there, but we're also, like, sort of finding our own place. Like, we're redefining. So, you know, you see tech bros and Texas, like, all millennials, like, that's all coming from that amazing generation, right? So, I think that we're deviating from the norms. Like, it's such a huge shift that's happening. And Gen Zs are just, like, I don't say crazy, but, like, just slightly not okay.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, I do feel for millennials because you guys were the first, well, I'm saying you guys. Okay, well, you said not a public.
So let me explain why I'm a millennial. Because I went to school very early. I was in a class with people that I've always been in class with people that are older than me. So I'm like generationally, like psychologically, I'm a millennial. I'm not a Gen Z for sure.
I mean, but that same thing applies to me. I just wouldn't want to be classified as a millennial, you know.
When did we start talking about this? Oh, phone calls. Why is there an increasing rate of anxiety when it comes to phone calls? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. If someone calls me, right, I'm more curious as to what are they trying to say? Okay, let me pick up and find out. As opposed to, ooh, someone calling. Huh. Oh my God, this is too much. I don't want to deal with it. And then turn the phone. What's up with that?
Because people usually don't call with good news.
Really? But
yes.
Do you think that's like a psychological traumatic thing? Because I know someone who said he gets anxious when he's texting people that are slow because, okay, I don't know him, but I heard it somewhere. And he said that it was because his cousin died mid-text. So like he was texting like, oh, something, and then the person was meant to reply, and then the next time he hears, it's like, oh, he died. Like he died shortly after that. So he's very like anxious when it comes to completing text messages and get. So do you feel like that's had like a lot of good news over the phone?
I mean, again, it does depend on experiences. It sounds like the person has an aversion to text messaging because of an incident that occurred. You know, I know that for me, in one sense, I'm not used to people telling me good news. Or usually when people call me, it's either because there's something I didn't do, something that I need to do, or on the rare chance, you know, people want to check in on me. So when I usually see a phone call, I mean, I try to answer it. I really do. But usually if I see a phone call, I know that somebody's calling me to either tell me to do something more, or the news just isn't good, because when there was good news coming from that person, they didn't call me about it.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. No, but you said something that really resonated with me. You said that, you know, if you text me just because you want to talk to me, doesn't mean I actually want to talk to you. Like, legit. Like, that's the smartest, you know. But then again, it was professional, right? So I feel like sometimes people don't treat church as professional. I happen to be one of those people that I'm like, okay, this is church. We're working on a team. We're getting something done. That's a professional relationship, I think. I think of it that way. But then again, I see what you mean. So
Okay. I mean, okay, wait. If it's in a church setting, that is different. I mean, I definitely agree. And it's funny that I'm saying this because there are definitely some messages that I'm owing, but because of my phone, right, I obviously can't send them.
You're happy that your phone is out of
commission. I was about to say, I'm probably one of the happiest people.
That's way too happy that your phone is out of commission.
I mean, because sometimes it's just, you know, it's good to get away from sociality. Of course, it's always good to be social, but I had a professor and he said, you know, every Sunday him and his, like, you know, he turns off all his devices once he gets back from church and he just spends time with his family.
Wow, that's luxury,
you know. And that, oh, definitely, you know. But of course I can't do that because, you know, man, that's just the, you know, the amount of missed calls and everything. But it's like, for me, I feel like with the constant information cycle, and it just feels like, you know, things are always coming in one after another, time and time after time, you know. I like sometimes being able to just be, yeah, you know. Of course, I'm already not like a social media person like that, you know.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. Do you see me post on Instagram?
That's not the only social media.
Do you see me post on Twitter?
You're there. I know you're there.
I am, but I haven't been on Twitter. Like, I haven't posted anything in maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks now at this point. Like, I don't have an issue getting off of social media.
What do you do? Because I feel like you also don't interact with people that much. Like, you do have friends. Like, you're a very friendly person, but, like, you're not always with people. Like, what do you do by yourself? Like, after a hard day of like hiding from human interaction and social interaction, like, what does that look like?
Okay, after hiding away from people. Okay, wow. Okay, I don't know why I repeated that. I mean, usually, you know, if it's me, if I'm not reading a book, like, I just finished, not finished, I'm partway through reading Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. It's about a guy who is living in Russia, you know, and he's living in squalor of some sort, and he is thinking about robbing his elderly landlady. Okay. And he considers the pros and cons of it, and then he finally does it. I think he does it. Is that the right grammar? That, yeah. He does it.
Yeah, he does. Okay. He commits the crime. Okay, that makes
he sense. Commits the crime, and he kills her as well. And then after, he just goes through the whole mental process, you know, of whether what he did was justified or not, and, you know, such on and so forth.
Did he plan to kill her?
I think he did. I've gone to the part of the book yet. I'm going off the synopsis of what I read.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I read, you know, I work on music, although I don't release it a lot. I actually do spend a lot of time working on music. And I mean, sometimes, you know, I can really just sit in silence. Like, I don't have an issue just really sitting in silence and just thinking. Like, I can think for hours on end without saying a word. And then I just go about and do anything else I have to do.
You know what this feels like? This feels like something that will go in your documentary when you finally blow, like, years from now. Like the Genius, the Kanye documentary. Like, I feel like you're like, you may be, and don't, you know, this isn't flattery. I feel like you may actually be maybe one of the, like, top 1% of people that are actually geniuses. I think this is what, like, if I imagine, like, a genius, like, I think socially, you know, exhausted from, like, the bare minimum. I just want to mention that the bare minimum. Like, the
I agree.
Interaction exhausts you, you know, skating. Like, just, you're just happy by yourself. That's healthy.
I mean, I agree. Personally, I don't like the term genius. I understand where you're coming from with the term. I don't like it because I feel like that term almost has a negative connotation now.
Why?
Because I feel like most people who are referred to as geniuses usually go through something.
Mm.
You know, well, there's this.
Describe to me, don't you think? It sounds like going through something.
I mean, it just sounds like, okay, well, to me, it sounds like being a logical person. The one thing I can say I actually do strive to be is I like being logical, you know. I live with sisters. You know, people have eaten my food before.
It's not this.
What do you mean it's not this?
Not the logical thing. I feel... And then you said sisters. Are they illogical? Are they...
No. I'm saying, right, so, like, you know, let's say, you know, somebody eats something I left in the fridge. Most people, you know, there's a hullabaloo, there's this and there's that. But, you know, for me, it's just, well, food can be replaced. You let it go. You know, let's say that they misplaced something that I had. Well, it can just be placed back. You let it go. And if you were to talk to my sisters, of course, I'm not saying, you know, I'm like the perfect brother who just does everything right. But, you know, for the most part, I don't really tend to react to things because it's just.
So do you think, like, logic? You're saying logic helps you get through. Like, I would describe that as a nice person. Like, that's what people would say, he's nice. Like, you know, if someone does something to you and you don't like, so your logic makes you nice.
I mean,
because
and that
my food, right? I'll take that very personally. Because here's something happened. My brother, I had Snickers in the fridge, and I bought. Let me tell you. So I was going to the gas station, right? And I said, hey, you know, do you want anything from the store? I'm going there. And I was like, yeah. So I got what he wanted. And I got what I wanted. And then he ate what I got him. And I left mine in the freezer. And I come downstairs the next morning, and it's gone. I think for me, the logic is this person is actually wicked. Because... Because I got yours, you know that I didn't eat mine. I went to bed, you took mine, you didn't tell me. I woke up and found nothing there. Like, there is a kind of callousness that you have to do.
Is it callousness, or are they just impulsive? And at that moment, they couldn't control their impulses.
Impulsive, it was calculated. It was nothing. I feel like that's where my logic would take me. It's like, this person is actually not for my good. Like, why are you? It's just, there's an inherent, like, lack of, it's wickedness. Like, why didn't you ask? And then when I went out, I was like, oh, did you take? And then he was smiling at me. Like, what is, you know, so as opposed to you saying, oh, well, I guess, you know, it can be replaced. Like, that's a peaceful place to be.
I mean, you said it perfectly. You know, I always tell people I give everybody the benefit of the doubt until they give me a reason not to. Like, yeah. I will never believe that anybody's acting against my best interest unless there is concrete proof that they are.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, that's a good place to be, but I've just seen that people are wicked. And you know, this may sound pessimistic or anything, but, like, I think some people are very wicked. And I think that's, you know, sometimes because you're a good person, you often have a blind sight that bad people are bad and the extent to how, you know, wicked that they can go. Some people are actually just, again, I was posting something on my story and I was talking about how, like, dishonesty is a big no for me. I think dishonesty cuts so deep for me because it takes intention to be dishonest. Like, I remember someone lying to me once and then I sat down and I said, you have to think I'm a fool. Like, you really don't, you have to think, like, I don't have brains for you to, like, it was more than what the lie. It was like, nah, you don't read me. Because if you do, you would know that I would know the truth. I don't know. What do you think about that? As opposed to you, who will most likely be like, oh, well, you know, they lied. That's their problem.
Okay, no, this is an issue with, because, you know, if I'm a person of my word, of course, I can't just say everybody else should be. Everybody else should be, but I know that they won't be. But at the same time, you know, if you can lie, there's not much you can't do. Because lies are at the basis, to me, of all evil.
That's deep.
You know? Because personally for me, I'm the kind of person that even if I do something wrong, I will admit it. Because one, I like peace. It takes so much to keep a lie going. Two, if I did something wrong and I know it's wrong, why would I want to continue living like that? Yeah. You know? So for me, I've done things wrong. Like, and I've been in such easy positions to lie. But that's one thing that I can say I like about myself is that, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Because at the end of the day, even if you feel like you've gotten out of it, something goes away. And that's integrity.
That's true. I think when it really comes down to it, I feel like, you know, when you begin to lie, you sort of move away from reality a little bit, because I've experienced some very, habitual liars. Like, it's to the point where I feel that they've deviated from reality. And the painful thing is everybody can see that this person is lying except them. Like, they're so convinced about this lie that they won't give it up, but everybody else knows. I can't. And especially when you're a grown up, like, you're what, 20, 22, 20, why are you lying? It's just so shameful. Like, why? Anyway, guys, no one.
You know, I also feel like this mindset is a product of the environment we grew up in. Because, you know, the more I venture into the real world, not like I've been in the real world before, but yeah, the more I venture with people outside of my, you know, zone of proximity. Wait, sorry, that's a psychology term. I used that incorrectly. That's zone of proximal development. The more I venture outside of...
How are you? Great. I'm kidding. Go on.
Oh, thank God. Anyways... Oh man, this past week has been a week. Thank God. I made a 9.8 on my last exam, on my last midterm. So that's just a small hint as to how my grades are going. But the more I venture outside of my, you know, zone of proximity, you know, meeting people instead of being introduced to people, I find out that the polite community that I grew up in isn't indicative of what the rest of the world is. And these people are really cutthroat. And at first I would almost feel annoyed because it's like, why wasn't I exposed to this growing up? But I'm glad, you know, that I wasn't, because right now I inherently believe that everybody, you know, has the chance to be good. You know, some people are pessimistic because they grew up in that world, so all they've known is the worst. But I've seen the best, and now I hope for the best, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the more I've gone outside my comfort zone, quote unquote, you know, Especially when I was, you know, conducting some digital commerce last year, I've learned that people are ruthless, especially when it comes to deceit.
You know, you said something that really struck me. I feel like this balance of, I consider myself a good person, right? Averagely, you know, I don't steal, I don't cheat the system, I don't lie, I'm good. Like, I consider myself a good person. And I think that, do you feel like good people sometimes are at a disadvantage to the world? Like, we're not
never.
Okay, so let me explain my reasoning, right? So recently something happened, you know, with my family, and we encountered someone that's extremely like wicked and just like you know, when someone is wicked, like they'll go out of their means, they would pay money, they would do whatever just to inflict harm and damage. That's the kind of person that person is. And it shocked me and it shocked everybody, because we're not, you know, we weren't really prepared for that kind of wickedness. And it brings to mind like Ned Stark, right? Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
I feel like Ned Stark was just too simple. He was just too good. Do you think that if he had been more cunning, if he had been more wise or sly, he probably would have lived?
Would he have lived? Yes. But what is really the worth of living in a world like that? Where you have to be cunning and underhanded and sly to actually live a life, you know?
Well, he would have protected his family. That's for one.
He would have protected his family?
Right.
Are we sure that's actually the case? If anything, his death served us. I mean, it is one possibility, you know. Another possibility is that his family could have suffered, you know, they could have been taken hostage because of his good nature, you know. Because again, good people, because they're good, also care about other people. If anything, I mean, you know, his death kind of served as a martyrdom, you know, to, I guess, get the rest of his family, you know, to actually like take their place where they should be.
I think his death was a waste. I think, especially after reading the books, I think that he knew better. He just wanted to die. Like, he didn't, I won't say that he wanted to die, but I'll say that he didn't really count the cost. He thought that dignity and honesty was the best and absolute thing, and he didn't protect his family the way that he could. That's how I feel. I feel like he wanted more, like he had integrity, so he was a man of integrity, but integrity comes with a cost. And I don't know that, you know, looking after everything that happened with Sansa and Arya and his children and how everything just turned out, like, was it worth it?
I mean, you can say, well, you know, physically it wasn't worth it. Of course, when I say physically, I'm speaking on, you know, the whole concept of not like bodily, but, you know, like in the physical realm, it wasn't worth it. But, you know, that's only if you consider it from that dimension, you know. And I'm not, you know, bringing Christianity into it necessarily when I just say that, you know, there's a place where you get to, you know. And man, okay, I'm not even going to get into Nigeria with this topic, because I mean, I would even touch there. But there's a place where you get to where, you know, you learn, or I guess you have to make a choice, you know, because I know how to ring up a TV for the price of a banana at Walmart, right? I was taught these methods. You feel me?
By who?
By a friend who spent many years in the you know, in the retail world.
Is he in prison now? Hmm? Is he in prison?
No. He's working. He works a comfortable job for a major airline.
What's the thing? It's like, bogon.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's the thing, and it's like, you know, it's the whole you know. It is a thing, but at the same time, you know, my integrity won't let me. You feel me? Like, I was raised in a way where I know that isn't the right thing to do, so I can't do it. And yes, physically, you know, other people you know, maybe able to walk out with TVs while I'm only getting a banana instead. But, you know, mentally and metaphysically, I know that I'm doing better because, you know, I'm choosing to live by right principles. Like, I feel like there is validation for the good, for good people. It may not exist physically in this realm on Earth, but I feel like it definitely is there. Because if not, once we say that it's not there, then there is no reason to be good.
I think there is no reason to be good outside the context of Christianity. Because you watch Succession, right?
Of course.
Think about how cutthroat and evil, what's his name, the father is, right? But he's
Logan.
Right? How many billionaires are actually good people?
Most billionaires are actually psychopaths. I'm saying this psychologically, like right. They're ranked as psychopaths.
Right. You know, how many of them are actually, they're not many good. So I think that the world systems is not set up for good people. And outside of Christianity, you're probably stupid to be a good person. That's my ideology. That is a
very valid point. I actually agree with that.
Because you just like, imagine I could push someone down to get further. If I didn't have like, I know that God exists and I know that these things, you know how there's like, oh, you know, everything comes back around. Is it true? Is it really true? I think being a good person, like being good, the only context where that sort of morality is important is when it comes to Christianity and God, because I know that there's a penalty. I know that there are these things that need to happen. I know that this is God's desire for me. So I'm more of a good person because God wants me to be than, and it does benefit me. But I feel like if you weren't a Christian, you're probably wasting your time being a good person because, yeah, the good people are not getting ahead as we think, right? But I think that, you know, from the psychological aspects too, there's also some benefits of being good in the sense where there's more satisfaction, there's more peace. Do you think like wicked people sleep at night?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, I actually think that they sleep very soundly.
I think so.
I think there's, you know, they say money doesn't buy happiness, but it can buy things that bring something very close to it, if not happiness in general, you know. So the people who get their way.
And with choice, like, you can be very happy. With choices, rather, you can be very happy. But so I wanted to ask you this question. So I have a friend who, interestingly, she was born in a Christian home, and she turned, I don't know, she's not really atheist or agnostic. She just sort of doesn't like Christianity anymore. And I think I was having a conversation with her, and one of her biggest problems was the issue of choice. And she said, well, we say that, oh, you know, choose Jesus, but is it really a choice if you don't choose him, you're going to hell? And so she feels like that's manipulative. What are your thoughts about that?
It is a choice. I mean, you know, the choice is heaven or hell. I mean,
one or the other, right? That's our argument. Like, if you're telling me, and then she also feels like, well, if he was the one that made everything and he's the judge and the executioner and everything, why can't he change it? Why didn't he change it, you know, maybe at the fall with Adam? Like, why are we in the situation that we're in right now?
Because if he did so, then people would complain. I mean, he has to allow choice, because if he doesn't allow choice, then you're no different than a slave, you know. You're no different than a robot. Yeah. You know, you don't have any free will of your own. I mean, if anything, the greatest gift that we were given is actually the gift of choice. Mm. You know, of course, there's a gift of salvation, but salvation is a choice. If you weren't given the ability to choose, then, you know, and everything we did was, it is predetermined, if everything we did was directed, then are we really alive? You know, are we really who we are? And the answer to that is no. Because people say, like, well, I mean, if God knew, then why didn't he change it? He didn't want it to happen, but because he's so just and merciful that he knew it was going to happen. He even created a way for salvation to still come afterwards that was predestined from the beginning. So I kind of feel like it's disingenuous, no disrespect to your friend, when people say that, why didn't he, why didn't he change it? Because, they're like, if God is God, then why does evil still happen? Because people will it to happen. And, God isn't in the business of changing people's wills. And that's one of the beautiful things that I love about Christianity. And as you heard it from a spoken word first, somebody said, I can't quote a word for it, but he said, that through my own free will, I subject myself to slavery to him.
Yeah.
That you're brought out of the slavery of sin, which is actually interesting because when you're in sin, the deeper you go into it, the more it gains a mastery over you, but you're given no choice to escape it. Mm. You feel me? And then from there, you gain free will because really, truly, the only freedom is in Christ. And then you gain that freedom. And then the beautiful part about it is that then you willingly choose to sacrifice that freedom, to give up that freedom, to walk in God's will for you. But it's not even really giving up your freedom because he does want what's best for you, even better than what your own free choices would have allowed you to do.
So, but don't you think that, and I'm just wondering, based on what you said, don't you think that it's unfair that he gave us choices that would lead us away from him?
I think that's the most fair thing of all. I mean, it would be unfair if he only gave us a choice to go to him, would it not? Because then that's not a choice.
True, but then there's a penalty if we don't go to him.
Is it a penalty? It's what you chose.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, because I've had this conversation with her, and I feel like it's so easy for me to see that. And I even said to her, I said, look, you're saying, oh, salvation is a choice. I said, it's more of a rescue, right? It really is a rescue mission because you're heading to hell either way, right? But then God is like, oh, hey, I'm giving you an option. I'm giving you like a, little, peace flag and everything. Do you want it? And you're like, nah, I'm good. Like, that's a choice. That's a choice right there. So I think it's so clear, but I hope she listens to this and I wonder what she'll think. But
the only thing, what have interested me if somebody actually asked the question of, the only thing that I could even almost remotely consider unfair is why Adam's decision impacted everybody after him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically sin and everybody, fell short because of Adam's decision, but they didn't make that decision. Like, everybody after Adam didn't get the choice not to sin because they were just born into it. To me, that would have been, when people ask about that, that's like a, I guess that allows room for more discussion to be had. But then of course the beauty of that is also that the answer to that is also very simple. And that's just because, Adam made the choice, there was, it wasn't in God's plan for him to do so. He chose to do so. And because Adam was the progenitor of man, because if Adam made the right choice, right, would it have been bad for then people not have the...
Someone would have messed it up.
Exactly. So it's like, either way you go with it.
No, but do you feel like if someone else messed it up, we would still be here? Because, yeah, the line would be diluted, right?
There'll
be
exactly. So yes, like any way you tried to dice it, it wouldn't go right.
Because we weren't made to live without him. Like we weren't made to sort of exist without God and without pleasing him. Like we were made for his pleasure. I think it's so funny that you said that because it's like we would still end up here. And that's something that I found in the word where it says that before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain. And you think like, wow, like even before God made the earth and the sun and the moon and all those things, like he already gave up Jesus. That's deep. That's deep. But I wanted to ask something. My brother, so moving on, I feel like in any case, if you're wondering like what are they talking about, and we're 49 minutes in, right? and then he was wondering, well, I don't know, we're still trying to figure it out. But this is something funny. My brother told me, I was like, he was laughing. I was like, ha ha ha. I'm glad I never had that stage of, you know, that stage where, you know, guys were making music, right? So he never went through that music phase. So I think guys go through a phase where they just like think they're producers, they think they're musicians, like, so
oh man,
in such a funny way you're in that phase. And you know, whether you're good at it or not, that's open for debate, but how did that start with you, and why do guys go through that phase? You know the phase I'm talking about.
I do, and it's basically the, well, of course, I would say that my okay, let's treat as a phase. You know, it's a conditioning. You know, I would say where, for most guys, the first people that they look up to is either an athlete or a musician, because those are two ways to quote unquote colloquially make it out of the hood. You know, either you ball or, you know, you make a music that's good enough to get you out. So, you know, that's why, you know, some guys have the sports phase where it's, you know, the grind doesn't stop 24/7, da, 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 da. I have to get my offers. I have to get a scholarship. Or you have the guys who go into music, you know, and they, yeah, you know, have to put these beats, you know, have to get recognized after, you know, have to rap because, you know, that's my way to make it out. Because the people who made it out, you know, well, the most popular example from where they are at usually are athletes or they're musicians.
Right.
How it started for me was none of the above. There were people that I grew up with, you know, brotherly figures that I looked up to, you know, because I only had elder sisters. I loved them, you know, because they were brotherly to me in a sense.
Your sisters in this podcast, it's just one thing or the other, but go on.
Yeah, you know, but it was good to have them, you know, older male figures to look up to, and they were into music. You know, there was Revelation, there was Rico, and of course, you know, there was Mandela Dunamis. And, you know, shout out Mandela Dunamis. And you know, they all made music. You know, and they were,
they were in that phase.
I mean, I don't think they were making music with the intention to make it out because, you know, they were still going to college. You know, they all got their degrees, or well, most of them got their degrees, you know, and they're working, you know, good or well-paying jobs now. But they were making inspirational, uplifting music, you know, with the idea, you know, to inspire others. And it did, because I'm a product of the music that they made, you know, and the effort that they put into their music, you know. So even some of like the tech things that I do today is because they showed me how to edit audio, you know, because I would watch them do it and different things like that. So it's like, you know, even if their music, you know, didn't go platinum or, you know, it didn't go gold or, you know, it even went wood, it still had an impact because, you know, I'm here. And anybody that I've inspired, you know, a lineage forms. And that's how it continues. So for me, that's how it started. And it also started, also, can't forget this, I was going to church and I was listening to secular music. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was very disappointed with the state of Christian music.
Right.
It was so trite, to be polite, you know. And the one thing that has always stuck with me because of that is, you know, also, you know, just because you have the message doesn't mean that you can present it in a mediocre fashion.
That's true.
And to me, I'm not going to insult anybody, but it just wasn't up to like the standards of what I knew it could be.
Yeah.
So I said that I would, you know, like, you know, if nobody's going to do it, then I'll do it myself. And that was, I mean, you know, who better than the genius, you know, to do it. And that was a big reason why I also got into music.
You know,
but it's not a phase though.
I know, I'm just messing with you. It's more like, I feel like it's more of a ministry than a phase for you. And it's so interesting because the same thing happened to me last year. I started writing like Christian stories. And it was because I feel like, and I'm going to make a Christian movie one day, either produce, write, direct, but I'm going to be involved in it like an amazing, because I just hate Christian movies a lot. You know, they have such simple stories. Sometimes I even find Christian actors acting them, and I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Because it's always this tale of someone disadvantaged. They suffer throughout the whole movie. They call on Jesus, but Jesus is playing hide and seek with them. And then towards the end, Jesus comes through after they've been beaten, battered, bruised, probably had to go to therapy. And now Jesus comes in. And I'm just like, that's not the Christian life. That wasn't my experience. It's still not, right? I experienced praying and having answers. I experienced having challenges and actually winning. And I'm like, who's telling these stories? That's not like, if that was marketing, like, why would I want, again, back to the being good, like, why would all the, you know, Christians that were good were picked on in the movies? They're usually picked on in the movies. They seem like weird in the movies. They're like not the, you know, you see the popular people not want to hang out with them. Whereas in my experience, I've seen popular people want to hang out with Christians. So I just think it's so flipped, and it almost seems like propaganda, not even like actual ministry, not even like, you know. So I want to change that. That's something that I want to do. And I started writing, and I want to continue writing. But so I can relate to you when you said that about the songs. And I think that Christian songs have come a long way. Like, I was telling someone, like, if you're listening to secular music, it's just based on choice. Don't say that there's not enough good Christian music anymore, because any genre you want, any sound you want, any style you want, if you're looking at like content, like quality, you know, words and communication, like, it's there. So I think, but how was it for you? Like, was it something when you first started out, like, were you bold about it? Did you always think like, oh, did you get a lot of encouragement? Like, oh, you're good at this, you're good at this, and releasing that first, you know, single?
Well, man, you know, just really speaking about these few topics, you know, as asocial as I like to be, I'm not antisocial, I'm asocial, because, you know, okay. Just a quick PSA, being antisocial will 8 times out of 10 have you classified as a psychopath or a sociopath. Antisocial is the wrong word for people who don't like to be around people. People don't like to talk to people. The correct term is asocial. Calling somebody antisocial is indirectly calling them a crazy person. Oh, I just want to put that out there, because people use that so much. And as a, you know, somebody who's into psychology, antisocial is not the right term to use ever. But yes, again, it goes back to my sisters. When I first started making music, I was young and I hated the way my voice sounded. Just absolutely detested it. Or I would be rapping and the lines are going over people's heads, or I'm not enunciating enough. Dude, I'm not articulating.
Your lines still go over people's head. Like, I know I have a hard time, like, understanding most of what you're saying.
I mean, and really, at this point, I'm really working through it, because, you know, it's just how I, you know, resonate with the music and what comes out. But it was really, yeah, you know, of course, you know, my sister Chelsea makes music. So, you know, I remember when she put out her first single. She won't claim that one was her first single, but she had a song she put out before, Trust Me. Yeah. You know, and I was like, wow, you know, like, she did it. And I was like, well, you know, like, I can do it. So, and then, you know, she'd always, like, you know, push me, like, yeah, I'm like, you know, you can, you know. And I mean, you know, Chelsea's always, you know, been very proactive in pushing me to succeed. And then, of course, you know, PNU, Pastor Nicole, has always been, I was hoping that she believed in me, especially when it came to music, when I didn't. Like, I really wanted to leave it alone, because it was time that I stopped rapping and I was producing only. I'm like, I'm done with music. I don't want to hear my voice. You know, I want to be like the background to other people. It's like, you know, like, doing stuff. But she just kept on believing. And I'm like, what are you hearing? You know, that's like. And then I think it was one day after a program, a pastor came up to me and was like, you know what? I know you're smart, but you know, you should try making, you know, like changing your lyrics so that it's easier for people to grasp upon the first listen. And I was like, okay. And that was, I guess, really when it, at first I was gonna do it out of spite, because I'm like, fine, I'm gonna make, you know, like a song that's so simple that even like a 5-year-old can get it. Mm-hmm. And then Level Up happened, and I was in a meeting with Pastor Dan, and Pastor Ike was there, and they were like, you know, what do we have for ministrations or performances? Pastor Ike was like, oh, you know, well, you know, this was before I was TGK, I believe. Yes, it was. And they were like, well, you know, Obi has something. Keep in mind, I haven't spoken to Pastor Ike about anything. So yes, I was just like, I was just like, yes, sir, I do. And 30 minutes after, I wrote Golden.
Wow.
I got the beat. I put the lyrics, half an hour. The whole song was finished. And it actually came from a time where I was playing a video game with some friends, and they were saying that, do you know what it is to be called the GOAT, or to be called the GOAT? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, greatest of all time. So, you know, we were playing, and I was playing well, they're like, oh, you know, like, he's so goated, like, you know, like, he's playing very well, basically. Mm-hmm. And it just kept on ringing over my head, then, you know, goated, goated, kind of switched to Golden. And of course, you know, my initials, AU, Gold, and that first came about because I actually wrote the chorus.
I said, that sounds like destiny.
Yeah, I wrote it about 6 months before I ever did the song, which is at Level Up.
Wow.
I wrote it in February of that year. I did it August of that year. I recorded it September of that year, and I released it February of the next year.
Yeah, I remember it was released like right before TAC Conference, right?
Yes, February 28th.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd had the song since September. I just didn't like it. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't used to hearing my own voice. I'm like, you know, should I have done this? Could I have done this? But, you know, of course, Pastor Aker, you know, was there to kind of help me get through it. And of course, I also have to thank the person who made it possible. I'm not going to name them, but, you know, without them, it wouldn't have been possible for me to do anything with the song the way I wanted to, you know.
Sounds like a girl, but okay.
It's definitely a guy. Okay. Ricky, please don't get me in trouble on here. Okay. Ladies, I am
actually I'm your mom. Does anyone that's important? Yeah, important people listen to this. It's a girl, guys. You just told me.
I plead the fifth. Well, I mean, that's how it came to be, you know, with Golden. And then I guess from there, it was just it was understanding why I wanted to put out music, you know, because people said like, oh, you know, you need to put out more. And I am, by the way, there's two songs in the works. But it was also understanding why, because, you know, every song that I put out, I'm very honest. Like, if you listen to my music, I'm not bragging about, oh, you know, God gave me money, God gave me a new car, God gave me a new house, you know, because one thing that's always stuck with me is that if these things left me, would I still be able, you know, to like, you know, what can I talk about in my songs that God gave me that nobody can take away from me?
Wow.
That's happiness.
And then, you know, everything I am.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. You know, like that song was really like a focus on that, you know, so like I'm talking about, you know, things that it's only God. You know, and you know, I say that I didn't write that song because, yeah, I say I didn't write that song because it was a period that I was going through at that time that the song was written. And I remember because it was written at like, half of it was written at 3 a.m, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a lot that was on my mind. And I would listen to that song because I would listen to the tracks. I fell asleep, you know, and the lyrics would just come to me and I would write it down before I fell asleep. And then in August, 8 p.m. after a session of... There was a session that played of an SOM conference with Pastor Chris. Nobody was at home but me. It was dark. And the rest of the song came to me.
Yeah.
And that was how it was written. And yeah, you know, again, it's really just, you know, when it comes, you know, to me and music, you know, just to talk about the intangibles, you know, that God has given me. Because yes, there's nothing wrong with, you know, rapping about clothes, cars, shoes, this and that. Because I mean, you know, God, you know, did bless, you know, the richest man to ever exist. Like, you know, King Solomon definitely was a thing. But it's like, for me, I'm a very immaterial person. So those things like don't move me. Like at this point, I try to give away things.
Yeah.
And that's because people who raised me, of course, I also have to, you know, credit them. But I try to bless people because I was blessed, you know. Even with the making of my music, you know, really, somebody actually paid for me to get into the studio. You know, so I always try to bless others because that's how I came to be where I was. So material things don't really do me like that. So that's why you're not going to hear much about it in my music like that. It tends to be more personal because I feel like, you know, these are my words. So they're a part of me, you know, and I can't just be throwing them out, you know, all willy-nilly, you know. And that's why I feel like that's why people like the music more, is because like they can tell like it's authentic, you know. Like with Pitbull Freestyle, I wrote it a few hours after I got chased by Pitbull, you know. Like
can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Were you skating around a place and then you got chased by Pitbull?
No. Okay. This is actually, I hope Debbie listens to this podcast, because this is actually all Debbie's fault, like 100% her fault. The Thai conference jingle that we did for the last Thai conference, I was one of the people who behind on my verse, and she calls me at like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I didn't want to answer it.
After a long day of deciding that even though people want to reach out, you don't have to engage.
Oh, yes, after a long day of all that, she calls me. I don't want to answer. She keeps on calling me. I answer. I threaten her, actually. You know, not physical harm, but, you know, reputational harm. I threatened to spread a rumor about her if she didn't get off my phone. She just completely ignored the threat.
Sounds like that.
You know, definitely does. And she was like, no, you know, we're going to find your recording studio. You know, like where you're at. And she went through my Instagram to find an artist friend of mine who lived in my city's Instagram to find a way he recorded his music at. And then she basically told me to contact this guy and ask him where he goes to record at.
Wow. That's
and like 2 in the morning, you know. And then she's like, you know, by tomorrow night, I need it. So the next same day, because this was like 2 in the morning, 11 p.m. or so, I'm heading over to the studio, you know, and I get out. And I'm looking for where it's at because it's like in an apartment. And I turn to my right and I see a pit bull looking at me. And funny story, actually, the night before or the morning of, my friend sent me 2 videos of people being attacked by pit bulls. 2 separate videos.
Is it the same pit bull?
What do you mean, is it the same people?
Is it the same pit bull?
Yes, it was the exact same color.
Oh my
like,
goodness.
Same color, like eye and everything. So when I saw it, first it came to mind, I was like, okay, well, this is like, you know, this is, you know, it's serendipity. I've been watching videos, you know, about pit bulls attacking people. And then I just go to turn away and it chases after me. And I was on the phone with somebody and I was just like, I have to go, end of the call. And I was wearing skinny jeans. I think after that, I stopped wearing skinny jeans. And I had my skateboard in my arm. And I ran.
Oh my God.
I mean, I ran like Elijah, you know. And again, like it didn't touch me. It didn't get close to me. I ran for at least 1.5 minutes. And I only know this because I was listening to a song before the call came in. So when the call ended, the song started to play. and from what the song was to where the song was after I was done running, I was like, I was running. And, you know, finally get to the studio. I had to run across the road in a car. Basically, I ran across the road right before a car came so that the dog would stop. And then it did. And the owner finally went out to get the dog because the dog had no leash. The owner wasn't near it. I'm not sure what was going on.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, you know, I walked.
You should have pressed charges and made sure that the dog was taken from the owner. Okay, that's a bit much, but it's not much, nah.
I mean, it's not, but, you know, it made for a good song. But, again, I say that to say that it was Debbie's fault, you know. And if you actually go look at the artwork for the song, there are some words that are written in some places, and Hey Debbie is actually on there because it was her fault that that whole thing came to be.
Well, in a good way.
Yes, in a good way, but I still got chased by Pitbull, so it's kind of like...
Well, I'll check it out. I'm curious, what's the best line that you feel like you've ever written?
It hasn't been put out yet. The best line I ever wrote.
Exclusive.
Hmm?
Yes. And I have a feeling that I'm not going to understand it, but go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So it makes sense in its totality. It's Revelation is my opium. Letterman, I open. Oh geez, you can't jack it if Paul wrote it. Same cloth, how he sewed it. Mix the sound, how we code it. Basically, the Python bygone. See hello world when we float in.
What are you talking about?
So, Revelation is the, you know,
I get name.
That. Yeah, you know, Revelation is my opium. And opium is formed from poppy seeds.
Okay.
And, you know, poppy is also a homonym of the word poppy, which is, you know, father in Spanish.
Okay.
So, you know, one of my spiritual fathers is, you know, the artist formerly known as Revelation. Or maybe he still is Revelation. I don't know. So there's that. And then, you know, Letterman, I open up. You know what a Letterman jacket is, right?
Not really.
Do you know those jackets that, like, athletes wear in all those movies? The high school jocks wear, yeah. Exactly. You know, like Letterman, I open up the Steez, oh geez, you can jack it if Paul wrote it. So a Letterman jacket
has,
but it's Letterman, but it's also Letterman because Paul wrote letters. So you could call Paul a Letterman. So, you know, I said like the style is so like, you know, like the style belongs to Paul. You can't jack Paul's style, so you can't jack it.
Right, but Paul's at the same time, like, you can't like touch his revelation as well.
Exactly. And then same cloth, how he sewed it, because, you know, we were all cut from the same cloth that is Christ. Makes the sound, how we code it, you know, the sound code. And then we get into, like, computer science stuff. Basically, the Python, bygone, C.
Python is, like, a programming language.
Exactly. Basically, the Python bygone C is also another programming language. Hello world when we float int. And the first thing you learn how to code is hello world in computer science. That's what's usually output. So C, the programming language, because that's what I learned how to code. C, hello world. And a float is a type of storage, or is it a type of file in computer science? And then it's also in, but it's also INT, which stands for integer. So it's a coding line, but it's also basically the Python bygone, you know, like the serpent is gone.
Okay.
See, hello world when we float in, which is when we're coming back with Jesus, you know, we'll be saying hello world, you know, when the...
So basically you write music for yourself because I have to know programming. I have to have gone to college. I have to have gone to high school. I have to also be a Christian to know exactly what you're talking about. It's really good, but it's very deep.
I mean, and the thing is,
too. So it's like,
but the thing is, right? It's like my inspiration really is the Bible, because in the Bible, one verse can have 10 different meanings.
That's true.
You know, and this was written for God. And my thing has always been that, you know, that if anything, I would need people, not want, I need people to be able to say that, okay, you know, all of the efforts and care that was taken into writing this verse could have only been written for one person, which is him. You know, that like, I'm putting my best, I'm giving my best. I'm giving my best wordplay for him, which is why that's really the only, because I mean, I could write so much more music if it's just, you know, B, C, C, D, and continue it like that.
You breaking down these lyrics is crazy, because I'm like, there's a lot of intentionality that goes into like every word. Like every word means one thing, but also multiple things, but is also connected. That's really, I'm actually very impressed. I'll go back and listen to your songs and like,
I mean, honestly, if you listen to Everything I Am, man, because in there, I never intended for it to be like that, because that song's supposed to, you know, be more heartfelt and warming. But in like the first part, it was even in the beginning of the song, thank you for bringing this up. This is how honest I am, right? If you listen to the beginning of the song, I say, it's crazy. Sometimes I move like a mime, and you know what a mime is.
Yeah.
You know, mimes don't make noise, but you know, they act, they do things. But yeah. Give me a pen and a paper to write, lead me to a mic, and suddenly I'm. And people may just take this, oh, like, you know, he's trying to rhyme. I'm being honest in the song. I don't talk a lot. Like, I'm literally saying this in the first line of the song.
Yeah, but you do stuff.
Exactly, you know, like it's very intentional. And then I'm in the Fray. I don't know if you've heard of a band called the Fray. They had the song called How to Save a Life.
No, I don't know.
Evanescence had it's another band, you know, and they had a song called well, it's all about basically like, you know, Wake Me Up Inside. Evanescence, Wake Up Inside, the life that should do in all mankind. Mick Foley on the mic. And Mick Foley was a wrestler who went by his stage name Mankind.
People have to know way too much to even begin to understand. Do you feel like you're going to make lyrics that are equally as good for like a world audience? Like, because these are like, I feel like the things you add, and again, you're American, so the things you add are very like bands, that's an American thing, like knowing the names of those bands. Like, not many people that are not, like, I guess, American would know, but I guess it's also your audience.
I'm actually glad you mentioned that, because there's actually a song that's coming out where, I mean, because, I mean, I've made references for different cultures as well, because I have thought of things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a line that I wrote in a song that was, don't care what they're saying, I'm moving with faith, I have the chi to level hills, please don't get in my way. And that's a Japanese and an Igbo reference, because chi in Igbo means God, but chi in Japanese, it refers to like a life energy.
Right.
You know, so it's like, even if you want to take it from the side of either culture.
No, chi is like, I think chi is very popular, at least with the Japanese reference. I don't know if many people know the Igbo reference.
Yeah, because I definitely have taken that into account. You know, I'm trying. But of course, you know, the American bias is definitely going
to
be there.
I think you should stay true to yourself. I think that's the most important thing. Like, make it. It's better to like make something that you're proud of, that, like you said, you're writing for God, you're writing to Him, and these are like the cogitations of your heart, like, as opposed to just making commercial music. And it's so clear, like, and again, there's always this sort of thing where, oh, if I commercialize it, yeah, more people are going to dance, more people. But then it's like, you're staying true to yourself, and that's the most important thing, you know, because the minute you stop being true to yourself, you start sounding like someone else. So that's really, I love it, actually. I'm actually going to go back and take my time and like listen to, do you have like the lyrics on?
Yes.
Okay.
The lyrics to all my songs are, if you just type in the song name, like artist name and lyrics, it should pop up on Google. It's there on Spotify. It's there on Google. It's there on Shazam and on Music Match. Yeah.
That's really good. Well, we're kind of out of time. And we didn't talk about a lot of things that I wanted us to talk, or at least a lot of things that we talked about initially. But this was really good. I feel like getting to know you. I don't think a lot of people actually know you. But I think that people are going to like appreciate your music more, appreciate your mind more, and that you're actually a great conversationalist. I don't even think you're a budding conversationalist. Like, I would rather talk to you any day than some people. But you know, that's not your sisters. I mean, I'm kidding.
And likewise.
I love you, Nicole and Chelsea. And you guys really played a big role in making me meet TGK. That was their only point. But. But thank you for coming, and reach out to him. Actually, don't. You probably should not reach out to him for anything.
It's because my phone doesn't work. That's literally the only reason.
And he's asocial. But do you like people following you on social media, or do you like block them? And like, just because you follow me doesn't mean I can leave you as a follower.
I mean, I have soft blocked people before, but I mean, if you follow me, I really don't post anything. Like, my Instagram has 3 pictures on it, and none of them are of me.
So they can just like check you out on Spotify, Apple Music, TGK Dread. Like, that's where they'll actually get to interact with you.
Actually, if you want to interact with me, you can interact with me on Twitter. If you don't, like, if somebody interacts with me on Twitter, I do my best to try and get back to them on there. Because to me, that's really like the only true social media platform. Everything else is just like a perception of what people want to see. You know, I feel like Twitter is like a real space.
Okay. That's another day's conversation.
Definitely.
I think you're right. But then if that's what realness is, then a lot of people are like awful. I think Twitter is.
Yes. I agree. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the realness.
That's scary. Because people are so mean on Twitter, and I feel like I don't encounter as much. Like, these are your thoughts. These are the thoughts that you're having. It's very worrisome if you feel like that's real interact, like real.
And it's because of the online, well, metaversal anonymity that they can say this, but the same person who you saw those being so nice to you in person could come on Twitter and say the opposite thing about you.
Yeah, like,
oh, and said, what is to believe is what is on Twitter.
And then what do you think about people say, oh, I'm not my tweets?
I think for the most part, those people are not being honest with themselves. If they say that maybe like their retweets aren't endorsements and likes aren't supports, that I understand. Because sometimes you just want to laugh at something and show support. Well, show support to whoever posted it without necessarily agreeing. What do you say, I'm not your tweets, and what are you tweeting about? Unless you've indicated that this is a persona you're giving, which is also kind of weird because this is, you know, social media.
Right. Like, why are you coming to be someone? I think what they mean is that they're coming on here to say things that they probably, you know, so something funny happened, you know, and, you know, Twitter feminists, they also get a lot of like, you know, backlash. But there was someone saying, oh, you know, men are this, men are that. And then she said that. And then she's like, oh, I love my husband so much. And it was sort of like, and someone pointed out, I was like, I hope no one is listening to this girl. Like, cause I think she said something about, oh, imagine being in a relationship with a man, something, and she's married. So it's like, Twitter is a mad place. Like, I can't. The only person that makes Twitter like manageable is Lamontro. I don't care.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because there was a time he deactivated his Twitter, and I called him. Like, I called him as soon as I found out, because I had to check up to make sure everything was okay. Yeah. You know, because it's like,
honestly, my best person on Twitter. I hope I didn't like scar him with the whole thing that I did.
Oh, the whole tweet like Lamontro.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
That was definitely a moment on Twitter. Oh my goodness. And really, I mean, I think it was beautiful because you see like people like globally, you know, the people who I think didn't even know him.
People just knew. I love his honesty. I love his like passion. I'm like, that's this guy's committed. Like, I can't wait to meet Junaika. Isn't it Junaika? That's the new one, right? He says Junaika. Gynaika.
He gave them a name?
Yeah, they have a name now.
Yeah, see, now I haven't been on Twitter in a minute.
Isn't Gynaika like something Russian? I think that's like a Russian name. Yeah. It's Greek, means woman. Ooh. Yeah, I
mean, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. But actually, before we go, I have to say this, you actually somebody that I have a lot of respect for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure I've said this before, I think, but it's because you're there, you know. Like when you're there, you're there.
I don't know what you mean.
And I mean that you're you. You feel me? Like, people don't have to go through hoops to get to you.
Mm.
Like, I'm not talking about availability. I mean, talk like, not to like actually like get to talk to you, you know? Because I know that, you know, with me, I just know people can always talk to me. I wouldn't give them the opportunity to, but if you can actually get the chance to talk to me, I'm basically an open book about everything. But yeah. I kind of feel like also like the same way. There's no like, oh, you know, you have to like, you know, study me for 5 months, then, you know, like dance around 3 times and spin in a circle. It's just, oh, hey, you know, come talk to me. And you know, even if I just met you, like, I'll still be me, like, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And that I really appreciate, because there's no trying to figure out, you know, ulterior motives, hidden angles, anything like that. It's just like, okay, well, you know, when you see Rookie, it's Rookie.
This is so funny that you said that. Thank you for saying that. I do take that as a compliment. It's so funny, but this is like the third time someone has said that this week. And it just had me thinking, like, someone said something about, like, oh, that me being, like, authentically me and mm-hmm. how, like, that's a courageous thing. And I think that, imagine not being you. Right. Imagine trying to feel. I just can't. I don't know why, but yeah, I think it can be a lot for some people all at once. Like, oh, so this is you. Like, you know, you're just being yourself. Like, you're not worrying about like societal norms. You're not worrying about what people are going to say. Like, you're just being you. I think it can be a lot, but I just think that maybe that's just what I'm good at. Right. I can't pretend. I was in a meeting yesterday, and people were saying things and coming up with ideas, and it just occurred to me that the reason I got very active in church was because I didn't like a lot of the decisions that people made, and because before I thought like, oh, I'm really committed to God, like I love to serve, but when it really comes down to like something, so maybe I went into this because I felt like, oh man, this is boring, let's try to make it better. Like, that was always my ideology. And I was just in the meeting, like, listening to people give ideas, and I'm like, oh, I don't like any of these ideas, this is why I do what I do. And that's so arrogant, but, you know, I didn't say that out loud, but I just thought it was funny. Like, you know when you have to like look at yourself and it's just you to yourself, and you're like, dang, like, this is who I am.
but there's no better person to be.
Right. But thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for indulging. I'll let you go for another couple months before I hit you up. I think our relationship works best that way. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening to Conversations with Ricky. We've been giving you guys back to back. I always love the feedback. I love the comments. At least for now, until I become global, then I wouldn't really have time for your messages and feedback or care, because I'll be swimming in all the money that I'm making. but yeah, check out TGK Dre on Spotify, everywhere you listen to music. He's really good. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. Thank you, TGK.
Also, I just want to point out, because I don't know how many of your guests, you know, have ever come on like this before, but, you know, I actually came on professionally. Like, I don't know if you can see. Well, yeah, you can see this, you know, like a whole, you know, microphone, lapel microphone, you know, to ensure, you know, only the best, you know, for the best podcast host there is. You feel me?
Oh, thank you. That's all I've always wanted, to be the best podcast host. But you know what's so crazy? It's like, sorry, we're about to say bye, but these are the conversations I have with TGK. Like, honestly, I feel like I'm discovering myself again. I'm finding, so I went to school. My first degree was in biochemistry. My second degree was in biomedical sciences. But then, I'm doing a PhD now. But I find that I really enjoy creating. And this is not a part of me that I've ever explored. Right? Like, I find that I like art and I like music. Like, I really like music. I like reading. I like writing. I like creating stories and sharing stories and having conversations. And it just, sometimes it feels so out of my day job, out of like my expectations. But it's sort of daunting to confront this side of.
I mean, but it's because you were taught that, you know, you're not allowed to have both. And I really feel like that's sad.
That's true.
And I'm happy that you're going about it the right way, because some people have been taught that it's an either or thing, mm-hmm. but there's no reason that, you know, it can be both.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, people have, you know, become whole medical doctors and then left. I mean, I know there's an artist, you know, who is a whole medical doctor, and, you know, they left their MD alone to pursue music.
You know the Asian guy from Hangover? He's a medical doctor.
Ken Jeong, yeah. Dolph Lundgren has a PhD in nuclear astrophysics or something like that. You know, and now all he does is, you know, it's like he just used to do action movies. So it's like, you know, I'm really happy for you, you know, as well, you know, to all my other, you know, creatives and creators, you know, who are, of course, you know, getting about their business, you know, because I don't want anybody to end up a starving artist. That's always been a thing of mine, because even if your creativity is the best, you probably will not be there to see it.
I think something, a heritage that we need to live for our kids and, you know, the young ones coming after us is like creativity. That's something, and I see Elon Musk do that with his kids. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the clips where he's talking about why his children are homes. Like, he has a whole school just for his kids. With a whole curriculum. And what's that doing? It's protecting their creativity. You take 30 kids, put them in the class, teach them the same thing, tell them what to answer back to you, and do it not 1 year, not 2 years. How many years does it take us to get through? Primary school is 6 years, then there's 6 years of secondary, that's 12 years. By the time they're entering college, their self-esteem is down, their confidence is down, their creativity is down. They don't think independently, and I'm just now breaking away from that.
Sounds like prison to me, but that's definitely a different discussion.
It is a sort of, again, that's a different discussion, but I'm just so upset at modern education because it does nothing but imprison people's minds. One example is the fact that, look at all, most university graduates are Democrats. Forget ideology. Why is that so? Oh, well, they just, you know, educated people tend to be more reasonable. No, it's because they've been taught to be that. Right? Most in Harvard, like, oh, so I just feel like people aren't aware of the intentional action of brainwashing that's happening in schools. People aren't aware of that, right? You know, when the British came to colonize Africa and Nigeria, for instance, they came and set up schools, right? But then they also set up churches next to those schools. And in those schools, they weren't teaching you what was supposed to help you become better than them. They were going to teach you things that would enslave you in the schools, that would enslave your mind. I was talking to someone, I was saying, like, you know, why are Japanese and Chinese so good at math? It's because they learn math in their language. I don't know if you've seen those TikTok videos where, like, they have interesting ways of solving division, like, interesting ways of, like, these guys were allowed to like evolve, right? They protected themselves from that sort of colonization. And I feel like, imagine learning math in Igbo, or imagine, you know, being Igbo, and there's certain Igbo words, right, that you probably hear. It means so much deeper than what English has to offer. I think even in my language, right, there's an expression for I love you. And the expression for I love you isn't I love you. It's sort of like, I have love over you. That's what it translates to. And it's just much deeper than anything that English has to offer. Anyway, this is just another rant. But yeah, like, we need to break out. I think everybody is a creative because God is the original creator and he made us in his image. I think everyone is creative. I think everyone's a content creator. And not in the Instagram way, but we can create content. We can create things that are enjoyable by other people in very unique ways. So I'm exploring that part of me. And I think this podcast is sort of like an outlet for that. I've never been one to share with the conversation. I want to bring things that people will talk about that would stimulate their minds or make them laugh or help them pass time and, you know, and just put wholesome content out there. That was also something I found when I went into the podcasting world. I realized like a lot of things are not wholesome. Like what kind of Christian who's trying to keep their mind pure listen to, you know, me, right? But before then, I don't know that it was very much. That wasn't boring too, right? Like I didn't want to, I don't want to come here and preach. I do that already every week and usually in Rhapsody Club in morning. So this is not to preach. This is sort of to just share ideas and have these conversations and put out wholesome content that glorifies God. So, you know, Chris?
Chris Rose?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Actually coming to on the podcast very soon, and he's going to be telling us a story. And the first question I asked him was like, how is it like being a white guy in a Nigeria? In a Nigeria global church, right? So he's going to tell his story, and I think that's going to be amazing. So yeah, those conversations that no one really wants to talk about, but it's important to talk about, I guess. I hope I don't get in trouble for it, but you know.
I mean, I definitely hope you don't either, because it's something people think about, but nobody wants to say it because, you know, unspoken rules.
Yeah. But you know, we, what's that? I can just pretend I didn't know. That's always a good question. Oh, I didn't know. Wow, thank you for taking my notice. But yeah, thanks to DK, and I think this goodbye is for real this time. Bye, everyone. So we'll come your way.
Bye, guys.